The government's been making it increasingly difficult to get your relatives into the UK from outside Europe.
The discrimination is stopping me from being with my husband and actually destroying people's lives.
Rules on things like earnings and language mean for some it's now impossible.
I've been forced to move here because of UK's immigration rules.
But some people are finding a way around these rules, moving to Europe to gain better immigration rights, and then coming back with relatives in tow.
When I found love, I was suddenly kicked out of my own country. I guess somewhere in this tackle of immigration, I'm the collateral damage.
Increasingly, some British citizens are taking advantage of rules that give Europeans better rights than Brits.
To have those rules about controlling movement into the country just kind of made fun of, I would regard that as a loophole. It should be stopped.
There's nothing cheating involved in wanting to live with your spouse or look after your elderly relatives.
I'm Catherine Nye, and this is an Asian Network Report special, Extreme Immigration.
When they're exasperated in every other way of living together as a family, people will resort to this route. It's inevitable. And good luck to them.
We'll have some in the garden.
My name is Samiha Polikova. I'm originally from Czech Republic.
My name is Amir Shehzad. I am from Pakistan. I came to UK in 2006 and I got married to Samiha in 2009.
Samiha and Amir live in Leeds. When I meet them, they're playing badminton in their garden, and daughter Hafsa talks to me in Czech, Urdu and English.
When I met my husband, his original visa was already expired. So after we got married in the mosque, we applied for his residence as a family member of EEA citizen, as myself.
And for that reason, I've got residency to live. I think it would be very hard for me to live in UK without a European person who made it actually more strong for me to live in UK.
Amir is right to be pleased that he married a European. There have been two big changes to UK immigration rules recently. Since last July, you must earn £18,600 a year in order to bring in a spouse or partner from outside the European Economic Area. That came on top of the English test brought in November 2010. 2 weeks ago, a group of MPs and peers declared that these rules are tearing families apart. The rules, though, don't apply to Europeans living in the UK, so people like Samiha aren't limited by them.
I don't understand why you have to work so hard, become British, and actually the immigration puts you in a worse position than you were in the first place.
In terms of getting family into the UK from overseas, Europeans have stronger rights than UK citizens. They can bring in spouses, children, parents from outside Europe as part of free movement. Put simply, it's easier for a French or Polish man working in London to bring in his American or Indian wife than it is for a British citizen to do the same. And so, each year, around 20,000 non-European family members of Europeans come to live in the UK. But if a British person wants to gain the same rights, they can. They can leave the UK, work in Europe, which means they're exercising their treaty rights, and then come back, effectively having made themselves European. And I've come to Paris to see how people are putting this into action.
I'm 27 years old. I'm originally from Chicago, and I live in Paris at the moment because it's the only way that I'll be able to get back into the UK.
Sarah Pittard is a screenwriter and married actor Chris Hall from Swindon in December. Sarah had been in the UK 4 years on student visas. When they applied for a marriage visa, though, the UKBA error meant they didn't get it.
They waited so late to send us our application back that when I finally realized that we were sort of screwed over by this whole thing, when I calculated how many days I was allowed to stay in the UK after the expiration of my previous visa, it turned out we had 48 hours to leave the country. Otherwise, I would have been banned from the UK for 10 years.
And so what did you do? How did you get here?
I called Chris, who had just left for a big theater tour, and I said, you've got to come back, you know, meet me at St. Pancras, and we just shot out on the Eurostar and landed in Paris, where I had never even been before. I had never, ever been to France.
A As soon as they were out of the UK, only Chris's earnings counted towards the new minimum requirement, and UKBA wouldn't count some of his freelance income. So they were left with only the European route.
When you left, you didn't exactly know what you were doing, but you've been told this was a way.
Right. A friend of mine sort of called. She's worked with a lot of expats in the past, and she was like, I promise you that all of this is legit. It totally works. Buy your ticket now. Just get everything done. You've got 48 hours. Get it done. Go to France, and when you get there, get on Skype, and we will talk about this. We will talk about what, you know, you need to do in order to make this work. And she said, I promise that you guys will qualify for this. Just trust me. And I did, and here we are.
This method, quitting the UK, exercising your treaty rights, and coming back to be considered a European citizen, is known as the Surinder Singh route, named after an historic court case, which established this as something Brits could use.
She just said, there is a law that is available to people called Surinder Singh. She said, it's not publicized. It's really hard to find on the UKBA website. You pretty much have to know about it in order to find it. They don't make it easy because they don't really want anyone to know about it. But she said, here's the website. You can check it out when you get to France. I did all of that. And here we are.
Sarah's husband, Chris, now has to collect proof that he's been exercising his treaty rights before coming back.
Basically, there's several bits of documentation that we have to have in order to come back to the UK on this visa. Chris has to work, and he has to have at least 3 paychecks. We have to have a bank account, a French bank account, in both of our names. We have to show that we pay bills in both of our names, tenancy agreement in both of our names.
So we're going to be here for at least another 3 months, we think, in order to get back into our own country, my own country, which she's married into.
So obviously we're in the middle of Paris. It's sunny, it's very picturesque. It seems perfect, but I mean, how has it been uprooting your life and coming here?
After about 2 weeks, it tends to stop being a holiday. So the effect wears off after a while, and also you're frustrated because you're not actually here because you want to be here, it's because someone's told you to come here. You've been forced out, and that's kind of taken away the romance of it.
Of course, it's not just France that you can do this in.
But anyway, the next thing is, all right, basically speaking, the Dublin's a great theatre town. Okay, if you need a beer break, okay, great way to see stuff here. There's a lot of the independent.
So having arrived in Ireland this morning, I'm walking down O'Connell Street in the centre of Dublin, described by some locals as the centre of Ireland. In front of me is a huge boulevard filled with people from all over the world, in fact. Now, British citizens can do the Surinder Singh route, as it's known, anywhere in the European Economic Area. But a large proportion are choosing Ireland because, one, it's close by and there are no language barriers when looking for work. Here in Dublin, there's a growing community of people exercising their treaty rights in order to get their family into the UK.
I'm Sunil. I used to live in Reading, and I'm now living north of Dublin. I've been forced to move here because of UK's immigration rules, which have now made it impossible for any British citizen to have their non-EU parent ever move to the UK.
Sunil Mehta is another British citizen using this European or Surinder Singh route to get both her parents into the UK. They live in Australia, but Sunil wants them with her in the UK so she can care for them as they get older. She was blocked from bringing them over, though, by new rules on dependent relatives brought in by the UK government last July.
When I realised the EU route is the only route open to us, I've had to leave my home completely. So I'm in Dublin. I've had to find a job here. I had my parents fly over here from Australia. It's been a huge upheaval because I've had to leave everything that was familiar to me and effectively start all over again in another country.
Why do you feel like it is your right to have your parents with you in the UK when obviously the government's trying to stop so many people bringing in a lot of relatives into the UK?
Okay, well, I haven't tried to bring anyone into the UK. So it's not like I'm sitting here trying to abuse the system, trying to get, you know, my entire family, my entire extended family over to the UK. My parents aren't coming here to abuse the system to claim benefits. But I'm sure if someone just wanted to be benefit scroungers, it would be easier to do it in your country of citizenship.
How do you feel about the fact that you're having to do such an elaborate plan to get them in?
I don't actually think it's an elaborate plan. I think it's the only route that's open to us, and I think it's only left open because the government can't close it, which doesn't mean that they're not going to try. My issue with UK's immigration rules when it comes to adult dependents, especially parents, is it's impossible in everything but name. So I would rather the government come out and say, okay, you know, your non-EU parents cannot ever move to the UK. So people will stop donating, you know, £2,000 an application for something that's guaranteed to fail. So, you know, speaking to my MP, he's completely unaware of these rules. I'm sitting there having to educate him. Whenever I speak to any politicians, friends, family, colleagues, they all think, oh, but surely, you know, if your parents are older and if you can prove that they won't be a drain on the system, that you can look after them, that they have the means to look after them, it's not an issue. And the problem is that it is.
So when you turn up at immigration, when you're on your way back into the UK, what do you do? Have you planned it?
I've thought about the various scenarios. There shouldn't be any issues with immigration on the way back. But if there is, and if they do stop me or my parents, because it will be clear that my parents are coming to settle in the UK, then I just have to show that I have exercised my treaty rights in Ireland, and hence I have the right to move to the UK with my non-EU family.
Expecting questions?
I'm absolutely expecting questions. I'm expecting the immigration officers to deny my right to be able to do that. But, you know, I'll have all the evidence with me. I'll have, you know, paperwork printed out from the UKBA website as well, which says that this route is something that British citizens can avail of.
Sunil has set up a group called BritSits and is now advising others how to use this route.
So just calling to go through some of the...
Here she speaks to a woman from Scotland who's planning to use the route to get her mother into the UK.
My mum is not a British citizen.
While I was in Dublin, another two couples arrived who are using this route. They didn't want to speak to me, though, because some people are fearful that if the government knows they're doing this, it will try to stop them.
My name's Guy Taylor and I organise campaigns and communications for the Joint Council for the Welfare of Immigrants. We're hearing so many desperate people calling us up. There's not a very high level of awareness about these rules. So a lot of people think they can automatically get their spouse into the country, are shocked when they can't, call us in a panic and find themselves in a very different situation to what they first expected. When the government pulled together these rules, they did a cost-benefit assessment of what had happened, but they absolutely refused to look at the benefits. So they actually just looked at the costs. So I think it's a very jaundiced and very one-sided argument for these rules. At the same time, we live in the European Union, like it or not, and basically there's two lots of laws we can look at, the British ones and the European ones. Obviously, people are going to look at the ones which best suit their needs.
Guy Taylor says that the Joint Council for the Welfare of Immigrants is hearing stories of people like Sunil, like Chris and Sarah, scattering themselves all over Europe in order to use this route.
One person I spoke to yesterday is working in an arcade or an amusement theme park in the south of Germany, and he's living with his Russian wife there. There's people who are working in Portugal, Spain, France, a lot of people going to Dublin, obviously, because of the language. It's hard to estimate because so many people don't, you know, declare they're going and what have you, but there's Facebook groups about people trying to share flats and actually coordinating on this. So, you know, there's a significant number of people actually exploiting this route at the moment.
Do you think it's, or are you seeing any anger from people that Europeans living in the UK have better rights than Brits?
There's understandably anger about having less rights than other people in your own country. But there's an idea that, you know, we've got to level down the rights. And our argument is we've got to level up the rights. No point in denying other people rights just to make people with no rights feel better.
Is it a route that you imagine, however difficult it is, though, do you think more people are going to try this route?
There will be more and more people trying it. I mean, it's going to be very difficult for the government to shut this route down, we understand. So when they're exasperated in every other way of living together as a family, people will resort to this route. It's inevitable. And good luck to them.
And Guy says a whole new group of people is now falling foul of immigration rules.
Over the years, we've had calls from migrants, mostly migrant families wanting to have advice over how to get other family members in. Now, we're getting calls every day from people who are, you know, white British people wanting to just get one family member in, their spouse, or perhaps a couple of children. Actually, for the first time, we're seeing immigration rules hitting white British people, and there's a lot of anger about that, because this is an infringement on British people's rights, not just about immigrants.
How do you think the government will react to this whole new section of people getting around the rules, finding this way around?
I should imagine they'll try and edit the UKBA website first and try, I should imagine, in David Cameron's renegotiation with Europe to try and shut down free movement of people. But that's one of the great advantages of the European Union. If this happens, if he tries to deny people the rights to move from other European countries here, perhaps we'll have to see 1.1 million Brits come back from Spain. I don't know how we'll handle it.
I'm Katrin Nye, and this is an Asian Network Report special, Extreme Immigration. I'm looking at the British residents quitting the UK to live in Europe and gain the right to bring their relatives into the country. Are they scamming the system or just doing whatever it takes to be with the people they love?
We met in Belfast in 2009. Yeah, 2009.
Chris and Melissa Mead live near Oxford. Melissa's originally from New Zealand, but the couple met in the UK. They moved to Berlin together when Melissa's visa ran out.
Yeah, we were friends for probably about 6 or 7 months, I think.
Less than that. It was kind of over the summer, wasn't it? And then in November...
Chris and Melissa have already done this route. They came back to the UK from Berlin and got Melissa an EEA family permit using the Surinder Singh route.
So all we needed for this visa route were a marriage certificate, evidence that the EEA national, so me, had been living and working in Germany, bank statements, payslips, contracts, things like that. Quite skeletal amount of certificates, details basically, to prove that I was exercising treaty rights and therefore eligible to have Melissa join me in the UK as a consequence of that.
And tell me about how you were received at the border when you came in.
So we finally got to the border, thought this is it, finally coming home, and they didn't recognise my visa. They said that Chris shouldn't have got it because he was a British citizen. And then we were kind of sat in a sin bin for about an hour while they investigated.
But eventually they said, oh, you know, that's fine. But the response of the immigration officer was to suggest that we were tricking them somehow. You know, it's just like,
I see what you've done there. That's really clever. I was so exasperated by that point.
I mean, they actually said, I see, you know, so you could just go and, you know, work in Spain or something as a waiter for a month and bring whoever you want back into the country with you. And I thought, well, you're making this out to be, well, yes, but that's not illegal, you know, it's not illegal. It's actually a stronger rights entitlement than the current family immigration rules are. It's completely legitimate. It's, you know, it's my right. It's every European's right. And actually, it's the right of anybody suffering under the current UK immigration rules to do the same thing.
Of course, it's not just the UK that's tightening its immigration rules. So other Europeans are using this way around the system. French people are going to live in Germany, for example, and bringing back their relatives.
My name's Saima Ashraf. I'm 30 years of age and I live in Leicester. Basically, I went on holiday to Pakistan in 2011. I actually went to see my dad and my mum's side. My dad lives in Lahore and my mum's side live in Arifwala. My husband, he basically lives in Surgutha, so which is where I met him in Surgutha. His name's Imran. He's a qualified paramedic and he's been in that field for the past 4 or 5 years.
Saima married Imran in Pakistan in December, but hasn't been able to bring him to the UK because she doesn't meet the £18,600 earnings requirement.
So basically what the government is trying to say is you need to be earning £18,600, only then you can fall in love with somebody that lives outside the EU. We was devastated because I was there at that time when we actually applied and we got the response. We was actually disgusted. So I'm newlywed and I can't be with my husband and they're just like keeping us apart from one another and it's quite stressing.
Saima says she finds it hard to come to terms with the fact that if she was European, she would be able to bring Imran to the UK without having to meet the earnings requirement.
That basically shows they've actually got more rights than us British citizens that have actually been in this country working from day one and paying our taxes. And if I need to sign a document to say that I will not be claiming benefits for the entity of his settlement, I will do that. It's discriminating against British citizens. The rule has come in because the EU has opened its borders and the government was worrying about too much immigration. So they have purposefully discriminated against non-EU citizens in an attempt to reduce the number of migrants. The discrimination is stopping me from being with my husband and starting a family life together. I believe that they need to get rid of this rule because they're actually destroying people's lives.
David Goodhart is director of the think tank Demos, an author of The British Dream, a book about post-war immigration. He thinks the Surinder Singh route should be closed off.
People have only relatively recently discovered this. I think it's only relatively recently become an issue, and I think the point is that, you know, we need some European arrangement to close off. I mean, I would regard that as a loophole. And when different European countries are trying to place restrictions on the number of people coming from outside Europe, it seems bizarre that those people who are not British citizens find it easier to bring people in from outside the EU than British citizens. And the government already accept that we can't control immigration from other EU states, but, you know, we do work on the assumption, yeah, that we can control movement from outside the EU. The family reunion has had to take its fair share of that, and I think the rules that have been introduced, placing somewhat more restrictions on it, are perfectly fair. And to have those rules about controlling movement into the country from outside Europe just kind of made fun of by a European regulation, it should be stopped.
How on earth do you renegotiate that, though, without just ditching free movement?
Well, I think there's a whole raft of things that we should now be sitting down and talking about some of these things, not to say no to free movement, but to qualify it, or to, you know, to have caveats. I mean, that's actually how most European negotiations work. You have rules and then you have various exemptions from them. Most other countries in Europe are also worrying about very high levels of immigration from outside Europe. So I think there would be probably quite a consensus. So I don't think we should just throw up our hands and say, oh my God, it's Europe, as if it's sort of permanently set in stone.
There are plenty of people who share David Goodhart's view, and many who believe the UK is quite simply full. I asked Sunil Mehta in Dublin if anyone had criticised her for using this route.
No one's been openly critical of it, but some people maybe haven't been as supportive as I expected them to. But you kind of realise that, you know, you choose your battles, and I'm not trying to convert everyone to my viewpoint. Understand that we can't have an open-door immigration policy. I'm by no means advocating that. But I think we should have a fair immigration policy. And what we have in place now is not fair at all. If I was a politician and I've got a British citizen who has never claimed any benefits and wants their non-EU family, who also cannot claim benefits, you know, by law, and is willing to take out private healthcare cover, provide a guarantee, a bond, sign a waiver, just to have their family with them. They're the kind of people I'd be welcoming with open arms. But by the government not letting me go down the straight route to have my parents live in the UK, and by my having to go through this EU route, what they're actually encouraging people to do is be able to claim benefits. Because if you go down the EU route, you're entitled to claim benefits, and, you know, as is your non-EU family. And that's what's absolutely bizarre. I mean, we're going to have people who deliberately go down this route just so the non-EU family can claim benefits.
And in Paris, similar feelings from Chris Hall.
I'm a British citizen and I've done everything right. I've never broken the law in any way. I've paid my taxes and I've done everything that you're effectively told to do. And then when I found love and I married the woman that I was in love with, I was suddenly kicked out of my own country. Now, I was one of those people as well. I saw immigration as a problem. I guess somewhere in this tackle of immigration, I'm the collateral damage. So is my wife. She's a foreigner. That's effectively what she's been labelled as. I would almost understand it if she was from Iraq or from Afghanistan or from a country that's war-torn and she's just coming over to suck up the benefits. But she came over on a student visa. She was here for 3 years. She had a job. When a British citizen is kicked out of his country, then you start to question the morals and the kind of thinking that's in the top chair.
Many people will see this as playing the system, ignoring UK immigration rules. I put that to Chris and Melissa in Oxford, the couple who've already done this.
Absolutely not. I mean,
until when they first said that at the border,
yeah.
then that was the first time I'd ever considered it.
That does mean that it's another reason why people will object to being part of Europe.
What, that British citizens...
That British citizens can bypass UK rules because of being part of...
So it's these terms bypass. I mean, in reality, the European treaty rights about this are bigger than British rules on this. It's nothing bypass about it. This isn't a loophole. I mean, it's a stronger and older rule than the current immigration rules are.
But what about a British citizen who doesn't think that anyone from anywhere in the world should be able to come and live in the UK?
The social or the public interest is in having people be able to be with their families. It's something that all humans need. All humans need require this. Net migration is really just a statistic that will fluctuate forever. There's nothing cheating involved in wanting to live with your spouse or look after your elderly relatives. The important thing here is to do with people now really suffering, now really getting depressed, now really being deprived the basic human entitlement of having a family life in the UK. That's really the biggest scandal here, not net migration.
The Immigration Minister, Mark Harper, declined to be interviewed for this documentary. Instead, I was given a statement. It says,
"We welcome those who wish to make a life in the UK with their family, work hard and make a contribution, but it must not be at the taxpayers' expense. The EEA family permit is not a loophole. It reflects the current requirements of EU law and would not apply if someone went abroad to a member state for a short time, just in order to circumvent the immigration rules. An application will be refused if it cannot be proved the British citizen was genuinely engaged in employment."
This does, though, somewhat contradict the UKBA website, which says that it does not matter if the only reason a British national goes to another member state is to exercise an economic treaty right so that they can come back into the UK with their family members. And we know that that's exactly what people are doing. The Home Office also added in its statement that it was tightening up on who can qualify for welfare benefits via this route. So it is clearly something the Home Office is concerned about. Back in Leeds, and Samiha and Amir discussed their future. Samiha had considered becoming a British citizen, but her Czech friend did that and ended up having problems over her husband's visa. Samiha says she'll be staying Czech for now because of the extra rights it gives her.
"I don't think I would give up my European passport to become British. I mean, this would be probably one of the reasons that I wouldn't do it for."
For others without the advantage of a European passport, they'll continue to scatter themselves all over Europe unless the government can somehow close this route.